The song says, I'll exchange my cross for a shining crown. You know, the Lord had a cross to bear, which is much greater than ours. But at the same time, he said, take my cross upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Every Christian has to bear a cross, and if you're not bearing a cross, it'd be an indication that you're not a Christian, because there are adversities and sorrows and sighing which take place in this world. But one of these days, we hope to swap all of that for that shining crown in that eternal home of the soul where the gates never swing outward. Good to have you present for the service today. You know, Brother Larry Downs read in your hearing from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and that introduces my subject for today, which will be law and expediency. And there's a great deal of misunderstanding about both law and expediency, and I want to talk about it for a little while today, but I'd like to read for our television audience from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, so that you will know the text that we're using. Paul says in verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered sacrifice unto idols, eat not for the sake of him that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are two reasons why brethren in apostolic days thought it was wrong to eat meat. One, meat sacrificed to idols. There was a great deal of idolatry in the days of Paul, and they would bring these animals, and they would offer them in sacrifice and then put them on the meat market. And some of the brethren would go down there and buy this meat and eat it, and that offended some brethren. They felt that was sinful. And Paul, out of consideration for those weak brethren, he calls them weak brethren, he says, if one tells you that this is offered to an idol and it's going to be offensive, he said, do not eat. Romans 14 discusses another segment of the meat question. These people were vegetarians. They didn't believe in eating meat, whether or not it was offered to an idol or not. They just didn't believe in eating meat. They were vegetarians. So this was a problem in apostolic times, and it allowed Paul to introduce our subject of law and expediency. Someone says the best place to start any discussion is a definition of terms, and I believe that is correct. The word law comes from the Greek word nomos, which simply means a set of rules. That could include the old Mosaic law, the perfect law of liberty, or any law, any set of rules, just law itself. The word expediency means to accelerate the process or doing something in the best possible way. But I want to say this about expediency. You've got to have law to back it up, or you can't practice expediency. If you don't have law which authorizes something, you certainly cannot be expedient in doing that thing. But sometimes in the law, there is expediency involved, and there was in this particular text. Paul is saying that it is lawful to eat meat. He doesn't question that at all. Both here and in Romans 14, he said there's nothing wrong with eating meat. But he says there are some weak brethren who do not understand that. And out of deference for them, he said it might not be expedient at all times to eat meat or to offer to this weak brother meat. Then I can understand that. Even though it was lawful to eat, that is, there wasn't any violation in the Word of God in doing it, in consideration of the weak brother, until he grows up, you shouldn't offer him meat because his conscience would be violated. I think a lot of people have misunderstood both this text and Romans 14. I don't even agree with some of my preaching brethren on it. I don't believe that Paul was establishing something on a permanent basis. I believe that Paul was discussing a weak brother who hadn't had time to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we have to consider brethren of that kind. I don't think he was talking about someone who continually remained weak and thought something was wrong that wasn't wrong. I think that he's giving him time to grow up. Over in Hebrews 5, when the time you ought to be teachers, you have the need that someone teach you what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are such that need milk and not strong meat. Paul discusses the time sequence there. He said there comes a time when you ought to grow out of that weakness, and you ought to give up the milk diet. And I think here he's talking about brethren who are on the milk diet. And they think some things are wrong which are not wrong. And that's possible. And these brethren were honest in it. They were sincere. They weren't trying to cause trouble. They weren't doing that. They just thought it was wrong to eat meat because they were what the Bible calls weak. Weak. Who is a weak person in the church? Well, it's a person who isn't informed in Scripture. He might be weak in certain areas. And Paul refers to them as weak brethren. And I think you know who a weak brother is. But many times these weak brethren are very sincere and honest, but they're wrong. But someone says, preacher, you say Paul says we need to be tolerant with them. Yes, indeed, on matters of this kind. Now, this doesn't refer to something that would be, say, immoral. But it refers to things such as the eating of meat and things related to that, which these brethren thought a Christian couldn't participate in. They actually believed that. And I believe Paul is saying that until those brethren have time to grow up, you need to be considerate of them and not try to get them to do something which would violate their conscience, even though it was lawful to do it. It was lawful. If you read the text, Paul isn't saying it's wrong to eat meat. Matter of fact, in the text that I read, he said, go in and eat and don't ask any questions. Well, he wouldn't tell you to do something sinful. But what he is showing, sometimes the law of expediency demands that we forfeit certain things in order to try to save a brother's soul. And I think that's what he's talking about here. Actually, Paul in Romans 14 says if you offer a man meat when it violates his conscience, said you sin against that brother. I believe that's the expression he uses. And certainly we don't want to sin against the brother. So we have to be considerate of one another, especially when someone is sincere and they're a newborn babe in Christ and they're weak. I don't think he's talking about someone who is a troublemaker, a rabble-rouser, someone that's trying to cause trouble in the church. I don't think he's talking about that. He's talking about someone who is sincere, but they believe that something is actually wrong. And we have to love them enough that sometimes it's not expedient to do what we could do, which would be lawful to do. But he said it's not expedient. He uses that word. You know, Jesus used that in John 16:7. He said, it is expedient that I go away, because if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come. The Comforter will not come. But if I go away, he said, I'll send the Comforter. So he said it was expedient that I go away. That is, I didn't have to go away, but it is expedient that I die. He could have called for 12 legions of angels, as he said. But he said, it is expedient that I go away, because he gave the reason. If I go not away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But when I go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And it did in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. But he used the word expedient. Is it expedient for you that I go away? So we want to talk for a little while about things lawful and some things which are expedient, and the difference in the two. And I would like to start with the Lord's Supper itself. You know, one of the things that's lawful about the Lord's Supper is that it's to be observed on the first day of the week. You have an apostolic example in Acts 20 and 7 where the disciples came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. And I believe that when John said in the book of Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, I have no doubt that he's talking about Sunday, first day of the week. John said he was in the Spirit. So one day has to be the Lord's day. He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I believe that the law of the Lord in regard to the Lord's Supper is that we observe it upon the first day of the week, as we just have. We've just completed that. That's the law. Next question. At what hour on the Lord's day are we to observe the Lord's Supper? At what hour? Well, that's a matter of expediency, to accelerate the process. We select this hour. We've just observed it. Someone says, would it be scriptural to eat the Lord's Supper at some other time on the first day of the week? Well, certainly so. But out of expediency, when we have met up on Sunday morning, we think it is expedient to eat it on the first day of the week at this hour. But we couldn't have expediency if we didn't have the authority to do it on Sunday anyway. If the Lord hadn't authorized us to eat the Lord's Supper upon the Lord's day, the first day of the week, we couldn't enact a rule of expediency because we wouldn't have law in the first place. You see the point? You've got to have law. You can't say it's expedient to do something unless you have Scripture to back it up, unless you have a nomos law to back it up. Then, in some areas, you can use expediency. For example, another law of the Lord's Supper is that it's a fruit of the vine, and unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. When Jesus picked up the bread, it was unleavened bread because they purged their homes of leaven at that time in Matthew 26. Now, so we have unleavened bread and we have fruit of the vine. But where do we get that? Where do we, does someone make it or do we buy it? Well, that's a matter of expediency. That's a matter of expediency. Now, we purchase the bread. They mail it to us. And also we buy the fruit of the vine. But I've known of congregations where a woman made the bread in her home and brought it and served it. Fine. And I've known them that they brought the fruit of the vine from their homes in some of the country places. And that's fine. That's a matter of judgment. That's a matter of expediency. But unless we had the law of the elements themselves, we couldn't practice expediency, because you can't have expediency unless you have a law to back it up. If we just formulated the idea that we wanted to have unleavened bread and the Lord hadn't said anything about that and all, then that would be our own authority. It wouldn't be the authority of the Bible. Authority of the Bible. Now, for example, if some brother would say, I tell you what, I'm getting tired of eating that unleavened bread. First of all, it doesn't taste very good. It's kind of dull. And that fruit of the vine, and I'm going to suggest that we liven this Lord's Supper up a little bit. And we maybe put some good food here, maybe some steak or biscuits or something else here that we can eat, maybe some jelly. And we'll eat that, and we'll call that in memory of Christ, and then we can get us some kind of drink of some kind. Someone says, could it be expedient to do that? No, because it's a violation of law. You see, we have the law of what it is. Now, where we get it is a matter of expediency, but you can't change the ingredients. Now, some brethren would do that and say it's all right. They'd say, we want to liven this up, and it's expedient. We just shift gears here on the Lord's Supper. We're going to change it up and put something else on the Lord's table. You can't do that scripturally. And some people can't even see that in the church. We need to know the difference in law and expediency. If you do something expedient, you've got to have law to back it up. And then again, let's take baptism. The word baptism is anglicized from baptizo, which means to dip or to plunge beneath. And the element in baptism is water, because it's mentioned in Acts 10, Can any man forbid water? Water. And the eunuch came to a certain water in Acts 8 and said, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? So it's axiomatic that the element in scriptural baptism is water. That's what you're to be baptized in. It's water. And you know what water is. And someone says, but where does that water have to be? Well, that's a matter of expediency. That's a matter of expediency. Someone says there's a Pacific Ocean, a creek, a pond, a lake, a baptistry. Where does the water have to be? The Holy Spirit hadn't revealed that. There's no law in regard to that. That's a matter of expediency. I challenge anyone to show me that the water has to be in a certain locale. I don't believe you can find that in the Bible. So as long as we have the right element, which is water, that's the law, it's expedient as to where we find that water. It can be anywhere. I've baptized in baptistries, I've baptized in creeks, in ponds, in lakes. I baptized one woman in a bathtub one time, Oklahoma City. So it is expedient as to where you find the water. In some of the rural areas where I've conducted meetings, especially in the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas, I recall holding a number of meetings in a place up there, and they didn't have a baptistry. So when people came forward, and several came forward for baptism, we'd go down to a creek back behind the church there, and they'd shine their lights. The park down there was a place they could park, and they'd just, car lights, they'd leave them on. They'd shine out across the creek. And I'd take the candidates out in the water there, and it was a rather swift current. It wasn't just a slow, pretty good running creek. Water was running. And I'd baptize them. I recall one incident. I was baptizing a young man, and I saw this snake coming down the stream, floating with the current. He was a little snake, wasn't very big. I saw it coming, and I told him, I said, there's a snake, but he won't bother us. He'll be by us in just a minute, because the stream was flowing down. Sure enough, he flowed on down, but it scared the boy. He got real nervous, real nervous. But he was all right. And so the snake went on, and I baptized the boy. Where does the water have to be? It's expediency. Doesn't matter. You see the difference in law and expediency? But let us say that the Bible didn't mention water, and I just made that up. I couldn't find any an expedient place to baptize lawfully, according to God's word, unless I had law for it. But I've got scripture to back that up. You see, and so water is the element as far as Bible baptism is concerned, but where that water is really doesn't matter. Now, let's take a word, teach. The Bible says, go teach all nations. The word didacto, to teach, to convey a thought or idea to someone else. That's the law. That's the law. Someone says, but how do you teach? How do you convey to other people? Well, that's a matter of expediency. Oral demonstration, just like I'm talking. That's orally. But the Lord didn't say that's the only way. It might be expedient to use overhead, such as we use here, and you can look on the screen, because we're still teaching. We have the authority to do that. The authority for a blackboard or an overhead screen is in the command to teach itself, the law to teach. That's what we're to do. We're to teach people. Now, if the Bible specified that the only way we could teach was by oral demonstration, then it would be wrong to use anything, but you can't find that in the Bible. You can't find that in the Bible. And therefore, expediency demands that we teach or convey the thoughts any way we can. So we have literature. We hand that out to people. They can read a tract. Or we use a chalkboard sometime. We use an overhead. We use oral demonstration. There are just a number of ways that that we can teach people. And of course, the law is to teach, but it is expedient as to how we teach. And that's why when someone says, "Well, where is it scriptural to have an overhead projector or a thing?" It's embodied in the word teach. Just like the word baptizo or baptize is authority for water in a baptistry. Now, if the Lord specified that we had to baptize in a certain place, that'd be a different thing. But it doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. That's a matter of expediency. I'm talking to you about law and expediency, which a lot of folks, they get them crossed up. They don't know the difference in law and expediency. Some people try to say something is expedient when they don't even have a law for it. And, for example, in our worship service, we're told to sing 9 times in the New Testament. But we're not authorized to play, but someone says, "Well, it's expedient that we buy a piano and put in the service of the Lord." You can't buy a piano until you have a law to back it up. And if you don't have a law to back it up, you can't say it's expedient to add a piano next Sunday. You follow me? You show me the scripture that authorizes it. I can show you where it says sing. Someone says, "Well, singing, what part should I sing? Bass, tenor, alto, soprano?" That's up to you. That's expediency. Maybe dictated by your voice to some degree, you see. Because the Lord doesn't tell you to sing a certain part. He just says, sing. There's the law. It's expedient as to what part that you sing. And that's why when we use a songbook, it's a matter of expediency. So people can read it off. We could sing without a songbook if we knew the song from memory. We wouldn't have to have a songbook. But a songbook is not an innovation. It's not an addition. It's an expedient. Because the Lord hasn't said that we have to sing all our songs from memory. If so, where is the book, chapter, and verse for it? Are you following me? I'm trying to illustrate with subjects like the Lord's Supper, like the command to baptize, which is law, the command to teach, which is law, and the command to sing, which is law, the difference between law and expediency. Because if brethren don't understand this, they're going to get hung up in some innovation sooner or later. Because they can't see the difference. Let's take one more before we close. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That's a command that we are to assemble. Matter of fact, over in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if when the whole church comes together in one place, if the whole church become together in one place, that is an assembly. Question, where do we have to assemble? Matter of expediency. But the law itself is to assemble to do certain things. Are you following me? You see how simple that is? You assemble. There's the law. You can meet under a shade tree. You can meet in a rented home. You can meet in a private house. You could assemble anywhere that you want to, because that's a matter of expediency. Now, most of the time, brethren erect a building, such as we have here, to expedite the command to assemble. And we think that it's just good judgment to have a building, and we usually put air conditioning in it. We put heating in it. We have restrooms, and anything that enables us to assemble is a part of the building itself, which is authorized under the command to assemble. I've had a few brethren to say, "There's no authority in the Bible for a meeting house." Wrong. It expedites the command to assemble. You might as well say there's no authority for a baptistry. There's no authority for an overhead projector. You see the difference in law and expediency. But you can't have expediency without law. See? That's the point I made. So when we assemble, which we're commanded to do, by the way, we usually erect a building. Someone says, "But don't you think some brethren go to the extreme and extravagant in building a building?" Well, I don't know. That's, again, a judgmental question. That becomes a judgmental question. But the fact is that a building is authorized under the command to assemble, you see. So don't tell me a building isn't authorized any more than you could tell me that a baptistry isn't authorized. They're authorized under the law itself. You expedite. That's what Paul was talking about. He says all things are lawful. When he said all things are lawful, he didn't mean that anything that he wanted to do was lawful. He meant everything that was lawful. He didn't mean that it was lawful to lie and steal and commit adultery. That's not what Paul was talking about. When he's talking about all things are lawful for me, he meant all things within law, just as we're studying. Things within law. Things authorized within the confines of the Word of God. And so we can see from a study and investigation of the Word of God that there is a difference in law and expediency. First of all, you find your law. Then you can discuss expediency. And sometimes it might be expedient to do something in a different way. It might be. Some churches discuss, for example, the time to have an assembly. And they ask the brethren, what do you think about coming at this time? Would it be convenient for you to come at this time? For the simple reason that that's a matter of expediency. Matter of fact, we've discussed it here. We want to expedite it in the best possible way for the convenience of people because we're authorized. We can do that because we have law to assemble, you see. And so I hope that you understand that we must go to the Word of God and find our law. And the law to become a Christian is faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. You can be inducted in the family of God. Live that godly Christian life. And when life's dream is over and when its battles have been fought and its victories won, you can lay aside your battle-scarred armor upon the jasper walls and enjoy the bliss of God throughout all eternity. We hope if you're here and subject to the invitation, even if you need to repent of your sins, you'll come today. Shall we stand as we sing?